You've tuned in to a Four-Headed Sausage production. Don't touch that dial. Stay tuned in because your favorite program is coming up next.
Hello, and welcome to episode 109 of the My Mind podcast. Last week we spoke about Cyberpunk, Starfield. It's always hard to remember what I spoke about last week. Starfield, Cyberpunk, coming back to the show, sandbox games, but that was last week. So we'll see. We'll talk about this week. How you been going? Yep. Yeah, that's right. We're back in the rhythm of the show. So we're doing that thing again where I ask you about your day. It's been good, no? Yeah? Good. Okay. Well, I've got something to talk about because I've got something to talk about all the time, really. Most times, I dare say there's not been many moments in my life where I haven't had something to say for the most part. I've always had something to say about anything, really. Not that I have harsh opinions or really headstrong opinions. Well, I don't like cats. So, yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure I'll get a little bit of hate for that, but just not a cat guy. I never have been. I get really, my nose messes up, and I hate that. I hate my nose being messed up, man. I like it just being like okay. I want to blow my nose, and I don't want to do it every 10 seconds. Generally happens when I'm around cats. I'm sure I would probably get used to it. Like if I owned a cat and it was around me all the time, you would just get used to it. The same with most things. You know, you drink enough milk, at some point you're not going to like poo yourself. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if it actually works like that. But, you know, anyway. So, yeah, there's never been a lot of moments where I've thought, oh man, that's going to be crazy, eh? Anyway, so the thing about airplane food is I've actually never had all that much airplane food, if I'm really honest, eh? Anyway, that was just a random thought. When Spider-Man 2 comes out, the Sony's version of Spider-Man was actually, it's actually, the way they did the first game, I think I've spoken about it before, I would have, because it's really good. The way they did the first game was they really doubled down on Spider-Man, I guess, after. So I guess in, like, Tobey Maguire movie talk, it happens in the second movie. It's like the second movie storyline, but we've added things, you know? So it's been a while since it came out. So if you haven't played it by now, then, you know, go get Steam and download it on Steam or play it on your PS4 or PS5 or whatever. But, you know, the story of it is, it's a really good story and it's very wholesome, and the kind of, I guess, the character development throughout even that game is quite bold and quite strong for like the Peter Parker character. I mean, at the end of the day, like Peter Parker is still this broke scientist who just happens to save people's lives. It's actually like, how does he make money? Like surely he doesn't make enough money as a research assistant and the photos. Like how much money do you make from taking photos of the Spider-Man, you know? And why isn't he selling it to other newspapers? Why does he just sell to the Bugle? Like, surely there's more than one newspaper in Marvel's New York City. For sure, right? Like, there wouldn't be one news channel. There's not just one bad guy company, like AIM or Hydra or whatever. So why isn't there two newspapers? Is it just the Daily Bugle? I've never thought of this until right now. Is there only the Daily Bugle that exists in Marvel? And in DC, is it just the Daily Planet? Because I feel like that would be a point of comparing DC and Marvel, is that, oh, Marvel has more than one newspaper. But no, they only have one newspaper. It's the Bugle. How about that? J. Jonah Jameson has the monopoly of newspapers. He's like the Rupert Murdoch of the Marvel the Marvel universe. How crazy. I never thought about that. He controls the media. That's why you don't trust him. He's controlling the media in the Marvel world. That's why Spider-Man sucks. In his eyes. Not in my eyes. I like Spider-Man. But Spider-Man is... like, he's just a kid. Like, there's a point in everyone's life where you find yourself relatable to a character that you grew up with. And then all of a sudden, you don't. And you have to pick another superhero that you relate with. I just don't want to get to the point of where I'm like relatable to like Frank Castle, where like my whole family's murdered in a park. Like that'd be a horrible piece of circumstance to find yourself in. Imagine that. Don't imagine it. Actually, I'll stop because that's harsh. That sucks. Rest in peace, the Castle family. Oh, that sucks so much. But, you know, look. In your life, you'll find yourself relatable to, I guess, actors, you know, musicians, all sorts. All sorts. Even people in your, I guess, home life that you find yourself relatable to. It's like, oh, my dad went through what I'm going through. How relatable. Anyway, so I think that the new Spider-Man game, it's going to be good. I think they really need to introduce Venom into a series, because I'm sick of him just turning up in random comic book games, you know, like Marvel's Ultimate Alliance that came out in 2007. No, but like, you never see enough Venom. Even though you see a lot of him, you don't necessarily see him. I don't know. It's hard to explain. Because you see a lot of him, but it's not enough. It's just not enough. Even though he's got two movies, like, there's just no video game content of him. Like, the only real video game he was in that you could play as him was Ultimate Spider-Man. And that was back on Xbox and PS2. And this was a really good Spider-Man game, actually. It was very comic booky. It was very much in the style of the Ultimate Spider-Man series, which made it really good, really refreshing as well. A lot of games that came out in that time were a bit comic booky, though. I think Team Fortress might have come out that year, and 13 had come out. That was a game that they redid for the next gen consoles that didn't do very well, which kind of sucks because the original game was really good. It was really good. I think the best thing about it was the story changed and turned into the JFK assassination. It was indicated that you, like the character you played, 13, was the assassin that killed JFK. And I thought, oh, this is a bit juicy, a bit interesting as a 12-year-old already knowing about the JFK assassination. That's another thing that's crazy in today's society as well, is a lot of those milestones of history that were milestones when I was growing up, even though they're relative today, I'm not dismissing the importance of them. What I'm getting to is that a lot of people kind of forget that those situations happened and the weight of the situation. I think they, you know, they know it's like, oh, you know, a president got assassinated in a parade back in the 60s, you know. But what was around that time was like, you know, heavy union battles, you know, the shutting down, like the mob was like entrenched in political USA, the Vietnam War, the Cuba Missile Crisis. Like there was so much happening. You know, there was a coup a couple of years earlier in Cuba, you know, so it was wild. It was a crazy time, the 60s. That's why I wrote a book about it. No, I'm kidding. I did write a detective novel that's based in 1963. I thought that was a very interesting time to pick as well. Because it was good music then as well. Like Dion and the Belmonts were coming out with bangers. Frankie, the crooners, man. You know, Frankie, Dino. All the best. Yeah. I never feel as if I grew up in the wrong era either. If you're just joining us for the first time on this show, this has somehow come on while you're in the car and it was just a suggested thing, then give it a listen for sure, because it sometimes gets very interesting, but sometimes it doesn't. But the theme of the show is my mind, so it's generally whatever enters my mind I speak about and I talk about. So it's sometimes very scripted, sometimes it's not scripted at all, which I think in this state of the world is nice and it's refreshing. It's nice for me because I guess my mind said it. The thoughts just go in and out so fast that I need to just get them out. And it's probably a bit of ADD or ADHD or something like that. Otherwise, I forget. Sometimes I can remember my point and my tangent, but sometimes I don't. Like one of my friends pulled me up on an episode that I did maybe last year or a couple of months, probably last year actually. And he was like, so what happens? How I said something about like homeless being homeless or something. Not derogative. I was just trying to make a point about homeless people getting homeless. And then I just started talking about something else and just totally left that point behind. And then he came up to me the next day, like after the show had aired, and he was like, so how did the homeless people get homeless? I said, what do you mean? He said, last night on your show, you were talking about homeless people being homeless. And I didn't get the answer. And I was like, brother, I don't know the answer. I don't know. I can't even remember saying it. Anyway, so it's nice to be accountable for what you say on a podcast, even your own podcast. I listen to it a lot in the editing process, but I should listen to it more if I'm truly honest. I listen to it and then I proof it and make sure there's nothing too weird in there. And then I don't even take out the likes. I say like a lot and I should edit that out a lot, but I don't because it kind of ruins the way the sentence is structured as well. Because no one speaks phonetically. No one speaks fluently in a constant flow. Unless they have like a script or something to read off, or they've memorized a quote or whatever. When most people speak, there's a lot of pauses, breaks, and stops. People don't just talk and talk and talk. Excuse me, like they have no full stops and commas. That's just not how a sentence is structured. Sorry, you didn't need the hard D. Ooh. Anyway. So, what was I banging on about? The new Spider-Man game is going to be good. There should be more Venom. Ultimate Spider-Man was a really, really good game. It was in the cartoon style. And then 13, that's how we got here, didn't we? Because 13, assassination. And there was a few more. See what I mean? And there was a few more comic book movies that, no, sorry, games that had come out that were comic book style as well. I just can't really remember them for some reason. But Marvel Ultimate Alliance was actually a cool game because it was a four-player co-op. And this is what Xbox and Nintendo and that's it, had over PlayStation was the four-player capability. So four-player split screen. You could do it with PlayStation, but you had to get an adapter for two more controls, which was ridiculous, but is what it is. So for the most part, it felt like PlayStations were built for co-op, like two people, and then Xbox was like, let's have fun and let's all play together. I think that was the big, like, everyone can play Xbox because we have four controls. You know, mom, dad, the kids, we can do it. Yes, you can. Anyway, that's when Halo had its big breakout. That's when Halo really started getting big, or like more or less started. Actually, do you remember when the first Xbox was announced? Do you know who introduced it? Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Dwayne, I'm a bit of a sellout nowadays and just keep acting in sequels and rebuilding franchises. He's doing good. I guess I don't like The Rock that I remember when I was a kid, but you know, I respect it. You can't knock a hustle, man. The guy has made so much money that if you want to know about intergenerational wealth, look at Shaquille O'Neal and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. They have money for the next 10 generations of their life, which is crazy. 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 And he's got all girls too, actually. It's so strange because his life is so publicized, but I feel like I've seen his wife twice. Do you know? Like, I've never seen... I feel like I always see him with other girls. Like, actresses. Like, I'm following him. Like, actresses and stuff like that. Like, I don't see him with... I don't even see his daughters. I mean, that's good for him, though. Like, he keeps his life, his private life private, because I guess when you hit a certain amount of fame and a certain level of fame, you don't live a normal life anymore. Crazy, hey? Like Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan doesn't have a normal life anymore. I mean, never did because he's always been kind of famous. Who's a better example? Maybe that, I guess, like Millie Bobby Brown from like Stranger Things and Timothée Chalamet, the new Willy Wonka guy. I guess they... Oh, but they're young as well. Like, who's a dude who's someone who got famous late? You know what I mean? Like, or Christoph Waltz. Oh, but he was like famous in Germany, eh? I just can't think of any examples for some reason, eh? I know there's a lot. There's a lot of actors that acted quite late in their careers and made it huge. But for the life of me, I just can't think of them. I don't know. But you get to a level of fame and then it's just, oh, actually, what about Conor McGregor or Floyd Mayweather and Mike Tyson and stuff like that? Big in their respective sports, boxing, mixed martial arts, but then they have a fame outside of the sport. That is everyone. You could go into, I reckon, 90% of households and ask who Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor, or Mike Tyson is, and they would know. And they would either know him from boxing or from something else. But you would know them as a boxer. Do you know what I mean? Like, that level of fame where you're a household name and everyone can't not speak about you. You're always in the headlines for better or worse. I guess like those Paul brothers. Something going on with those two, eh? I mean, they're smart guys. They portray themselves a bit, you know, with Doughy or whatever. But they are pretty smart. What would you... I just had a thought. What would you rather? Would you rather be in a room with 10,000 elephants, right? A room with 10,000 elephants. You can't really move, but you can move. It's like a packed party, but there's enough room to move around, okay? Or would you rather be in a room with 10,000 giraffes and the room is as big as the room of elephants? So they're all crammed and it's the same amount. So it's like big enough to move around, but it's also not, right? Imagine you could probably handle walking through elephants with their tusks and big legs and trunks and floppy ears and stuff. And they're all just spraying water. It'd be like a really cool, like Wet and Wild wet and wild kind of party, right? It'd be pretty cool. But imagine all those giraffes with their heads like bent over and they're all knocking into each other and they're all making those weird giraffe noises. You'd probably be deaf with the elephants, but man, those giraffes, that'd be wild because they're all like bent over and crooked, trying to lick you and stuff. Oh, geez. I can't imagine which one's worse. I'd probably take the elephants, if I'm honest. Just like right now, gut reaction, elephants. Yeah. And there would have to be a clause in it. Like you couldn't just stand there. Say you had to be in a room with these 10,000 animals, right? You had to stay in there for an hour, but you couldn't stay in there for an hour just sitting in the corner. Like you had to move around. I think that would be, when people say, oh, I could lie in a pit of snakes. It's like, yeah, most people could because they wouldn't annoy you. But could you run across 2 meters of snakes laying down? Nah. Nah. There's actually not enough money for me to do like something like that. I would lay in a bed of snakes for pretty low cost cash if I knew that I just had to stay there for 20 seconds. There was a snake handler there, right? Snake handler there to maneuver them off when I'm ready to get up, okay? So 20 seconds. I'd probably do it for about $500, I reckon, right? If the next challenge was run across a bit of area that's 1 meter wide and 1 meter long of snakes, you can't jump it. You have to run through it for $500. Sorry, long pause. For $500, I wouldn't do it. There's just no way. I wouldn't even consider it. I would just say no. Thank you. See you later. If you offered me $1 million, I wouldn't do it. No way. No way. No way. Because if you get bit, even if they weren't poisonous snakes, they're all poisonous, actually. I don't think there is a non-venomous snake. Surely there is. I'll ask a friend. I won't Google it. I'll ask a friend later. So then, so there's none. There's zero amount of money. And not that I would do it for free. There's just not a currency. There's not a number. And there's infinite numbers. There's not a number you could pay me to run across snakes. Even if it was like a massive python and I could step over it. Imagine all these snakes just slithering in one spot, like a pit, but you had to walk over it and you had to step on them. So as soon as you step on them, they bite you and then you die within 2 minutes. Or they bite you and you fall over and then they all bite you. Imagine that on TV. Who Dares Wins? All right, guys. Do you remember Who Dares Wins with Michael Whitney and Tanya someone, the girl? No? So it was a show. If you do know about it, then, you know, just feel free to block this out or tell me that I'm wrong with describing it. In the early 2000s, there was a show called Who Dares Wins. And Mike Whitney would go up to people in a shopping center and go, hey, do you want to play Who Dares Wins? And they go, yeah, for sure. And then he's like, I dare you to eat this mayonnaise sandwich. And if you do it, I'll give you $50. And they go, oh, yeah, sure. And then they eat the sandwich and then he gives them $50. So that's the concept, right? But there were some far out ones. One was like, you've got to drive a car off the back of a trailer, like a moving trailer, right? That was one of them. And another one was like, get a car on two wheels. Just stuff like that. Walk across it was like Fear Factor but it wasn't about fear. It was about, you know, making money and stuff. It was actually like the earliest Mr. Beast style video. That's where Mr. Beast got his idea from. Who Dares Wins? No, I don't know. Who knows? But that was a cool show. And you used to come on after school, I remember, about 3:30, 4 o'clock, and you just sit there watching it. And then, yeah, it was good. This is back when TV had programming. You couldn't just pick what you want. Like, you could just go Google Who Dares Wins and watch a couple of episodes on Google right now. I'm sure you could. If you're in a car, don't do it. But back then, you had to wait for a show to come on. I'm not even that old. This is how far technology has progressed. I'm 32. And now, as a 32-year-old, I can Google something or I can look it on Netflix and then just watch it. I could watch every episode of One Piece. I could watch every episode of Dragon Ball Z, right? This is crazy. I know you're thinking there like, oh my God, he's just talking about streaming. Ugh, what a loser. But this is massive. We're like, Elon Musk is pretty in early development of downloading information into the human brain. That is crazy. What are we even talking about? What do you mean? The internet was a thing when I was 10. The internet was always around, right? But we didn't have it here. And the earliest version of it that I can remember was dial-up. And like I said, I'm not that old. Dial-up, you couldn't be on the phone, right? And be on the internet. That's how barbaric it seemed. But also it was like so advanced. It was like, what? What do you mean the internet shuts down phone lines to contact all these places around the world? What do you mean by that? What, bro? The internet means you can get books from America. That's insane. It was wild. It was wild, honestly. As a, how was I? Maybe 10. 9 or 10, I reckon. When I first started hearing about the internet. Crazy. Crazy. What a time. When was your first R-rated movie? Just change the subject real quick. Mine was Pulp Fiction. I can't really remember how old I was. I might have been 11. Or 12. It was either Pulp Fiction or Scarface, actually. I'm pretty sure it was Pulp Fiction. Because I remember my brother brought it home. We watched it and I was like, why that scene where John Travolta and Samuel Jackson driving and he's got the, John Travolta's got the gun to the guy's face and they're in the car and he hits a bump and accidentally shoots a guy. I was like, holy, what is going on? What just happened? What is this? Because there's blood everywhere. There's bits of brain everywhere. I shouldn't be watching this. Anyway, it was wild. Really cool. Such a cool movie. Such a good vibe. I always talk about Quentin Tarantino stuff, movie stuff, so I'll back off. This has been a very good episode. I'm very happy with how this turned out, so thank you. Thanks, guys, for hanging in there. So, you can hear the music and all that cool stuff going on in the background or whatever. The show hasn't changed much. It's still me just spitting out absolute nonsense. But if you like the show and you want to do more for it, then you can like it. And you can share it with your friends and follow it on Spotify. Give it a rating in the Apple Store, Google Store, Play Store, whatever store in the IGA. If you want to tell people at the IGA, you're allowed to. That's fine. Yeah, that's it. So thank you. Thanks for sitting down or driving around or listening to me while you work out. I hope it's been fun and we'll talk soon.